Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 72 and the return of the 72. Jesus sends out 72 of his disciples by twos. So 36 pairs go out into the surrounding cities to sort of lay the groundwork for Jesus coming in to preach his message, sort of testing the waters, so to speak, trying to see which areas would be receptive, which areas wouldn't be, which communities would be open to Jesus visiting and which ones wouldn't. That doesn't mean that Jesus isn't going to go there. It just means he's trying to figure out their sort of state of their heart as he's going about his proclamation throughout the towns. And he prepares them for what it is they're going to encounter. He says he's sending out them as lambs among wolves. In other words, I'm sacrificing you guys. Maybe not that extreme. Certainly to have them be aware that they were going to encounter not only resistance, but possibly hostility as they went into those towns to proclaim the message of Jesus, that they were to be prepared for whatever it was they were going to encounter, that it may be good, it may be not good, it may be safe, it may not be safe, but they were going to go out nonetheless. So they do. They enter the towns, as Jesus says, and they preach the good news. They heal the sick. That's their role. They cast out demons. They've been given power. This 72 have been given authority to cast out demons. That's a pretty significant amount of power to give to people who are sort of this large group of disciples. Go into those towns, heal people in my name, cast out demons in my name, and see what happens. Again, you're going out as lambs among wolves. Jesus gives them two things to do. When you go into a town, when you go into a house, say, peace be with you, and let them know that the kingdom of God has come near, meaning that they're encountering Jesus through them. I know that's a strange thing to say, but as Jesus says, you know, when he first begins his work, is he proclaims the kingdom of God and its nearness to you, meaning that the kingdom is here at hand. And so when the people go out to these different cities, they are going out as messengers of Jesus. They are going out in the role of proclaiming the kingdom and to let people know that the kingdom of God has come to visit them, that Jesus is here. In other words, and sometimes that message would be met with joy, and other times, not so much. But they're to proclaim the kingdom of God nevertheless. I love that word. Nevertheless, proclaim the kingdom of God. No matter what happens, whether it's a good reception or a bad reception, nevertheless, proclaim the kingdom of God. And it will mean two things. One, joyful that Jesus has come near. Two, judgment that the kingdom of God has approached you and you have rejected it. That's the way the kingdom is received. There's no sort of halfway with Jesus. Either it's received or it's not. And either way, the kingdom has still come near. It's just, what's the effect? So Jesus is waiting. As he's waiting, he's teaching about these different cities and the proclamation of the woes. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Meaning that these towns... He kind of knows they're probably not going to receive him. And woe to them when they don't. He says it's going to be better for Sodom than for those towns that reject Jesus. Now, we know what happened to Sodom in the Old Testament, right? The whole fire of God came and consumed the whole city so that nothing was left. And that was going to be better than what would happen to these towns that reject Jesus? Now remember, last week we talked about the demons not wanting to go back to the abyss. So it was better to die in drowning pigs than to go back to the abyss. Here Jesus is saying it's going to be better that the fires of heaven burned and consumed you to nothingness than for you to reject Jesus. Now I know we don't often get the fire and brimstone preaching here in the Lutheran Church, but this is fire and brimstone preaching. Because if these cities reject Jesus as he's saying they're probably going to, then it is going to be bad. Because the one who rejects the messenger rejects the one who sent the messenger, and also the one who sent the sender to send the messenger. In other words, reject the messenger and you're rejecting God. Reject God, and it is nothing but darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth for you. This is a harsh judgment from Jesus. Again, we don't often hear that, but here it is. But then I love the word, nevertheless. Whether it's the harsh judgment of Jesus or the proclamation of peace, nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come near. Meaning the kingdom goes out to everybody, regardless of the way they receive it. We talked about the sower and the seed today in Bible class and how the sower sows the seed everywhere, regardless of the condition of the ground it falls on, because it's not about me picking and choosing who's going to receive the message. Notice the 72 went to all of the towns in the area, not just picking and choosing the ones who would receive Jesus and the ones who wouldn't, because the word has to go to everybody. The word of God needs to be proclaimed everywhere. And regardless of the way they receive it, again, nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come near to them. They've been able to hear the word. What happens to it once it's heard? It's not up to those who are sowing. It's not up to the 72 to determine. The disciples have tried that before. When they were rejected from one town, the disciples asked Jesus if they could call down fire from heaven and burn up that village. And Jesus says, no. No, that's not your job. Leave the fires of heaven to the one in heaven. Don't you try and do that. In other words, simply go. Proclaim the word. Take the kingdom out to those around and let the kingdom do its work. Whether they receive it or not, it's not your job. It's not my job. As the pastor of the church, it's not my job to pick and choose who I proclaim the word to. There's a bunch of people sitting in here today, a bunch of people who may or may not be receptive to the word today. I don't know. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're here to hear the word, but I don't know what that word is going to do when it hits your ears. It's not my job. Boy, that'd be a lot of work to meet with you each individually today on hearing the word and saying, all right, what's it going to do in you? What are you going to do with it now that you've heard it? I suppose I could do that. Maybe that's just a challenge for you. What are you going to do once you've heard the word? I don't know. We'll let the Holy Spirit decide. So the 72 come back after they've done their work, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and they are excited. They are thrilled. They come back and they tell Jesus, even the demons, even the spirits were subject to us in your name. That was awesome, Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah. I hear you. I was the one who saw Satan fall. Don't rejoice in that. Don't rejoice in your seeming victory over the demons. There's another nevertheless coming here. See, sometimes we Christians rejoice in things that we ought not to. Sometimes we get really excited about things that we probably shouldn't. Sometimes we go over the top with our celebration in things, and maybe we ought to refocus Because when we proclaim the word and something happens out there that's good, we sort of get really excited about that. And we come back to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, did you see what we did? And he says, yeah, it's great. But wait, don't rejoice in your seeming victories, because there's something way, way more important. His nevertheless here, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, the world out there is not so separate from the world in here. There are hard hearts everywhere. There are ears that are receptive everywhere. There are things that get in the way everywhere. So as the word is proclaimed, as the word does its work among its people, we don't rejoice in these seeming victories that we have over the world, because they're not that important. What's important, as Jesus says, is whose names are written in the book. Whose names are written in heaven. That's what we rejoice in. We rejoice in the names that are going to show up on that list on that day when Jesus returns and he calls us all back to life, and we stand there and he reads that list. Those are the names we rejoice in. That's the time to rejoice. That's the time to celebrate. That's the time to give thanks and joy to God. Nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come near today. In the word preached, the songs sung, the prayers prayed, the word has come near. And it will come near again as we come to the supper. The word of God comes near to you, to those ears that can hear, to those hearts that can receive, to those ears that may be a little stopped up and need some cleaning, to those hearts that might be a little crusted over and need some chipping away, to all of those. The word of God has come near today. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.